Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. I think I'm not only one that's having frigid weather, I'll tell you. But it was tolerable today. I went out today here in New York, and I was in Manhattan for a sneak peek housewares show, especially for the media. The show itself will be in Chicago in March, and I'm going to have Lisa later on. I'll have Lisa, who's one of the representatives of the Housewares show. She'll come on, and we're going to kind of gab about things that I saw at the show and information about the show. We're also going to have a few of the products. Most of the products I'll get sent to me, and we'll, you know, have individuals come on talking about them. But I did get a few of the products, one of which is a knife sharpener, but it's not your common knife sharpener. And we're going to, we'll chat about that. I don't know. I always have trouble sharpening knives. I keep saying, you know, I must be doing it wrong. Joining me, though, this evening, this is going to be really cool because this is going to be co-hosted. Melody Schubert, who's the owner of USA Travel Magazine, will be calling in shortly. And the two of us are going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff, and particularly like travel spots that she's gone to. And there seems to be some problem out there. Somebody has stolen the G-spot. And we'll discuss that later as to what this is all about, whether it's myth or fact, but it's evidently been stolen. So, But I have to tell you, while I was at the show, I mean, it was quite funny. Of some of the things that were like given out to us had really nothing to do with the product, or I guess it must have been related. But I got this huge cupcake, and the company had to do, there was some things they're dealing with, like in making the cupcakes, I guess. I didn't know where the cupcakes came from, but these were huge chocolate cupcakes with like chocolate, like soft chocolate in the middle, and covered with like peppermint kind of topping with some chocolate chips. And then what happened is when I got home, I saw something. Oh, yes. That fairy tale brownies. Yes. And so here I am, my sponsor.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies on www.brownies.com. These are absolutely phenomenal brownies. But anyway, speaking of phenomenal, I guess this must be my knife sharpener person calling in. Am I correct?
Yes. Hi, Meryl.
I got to tell you, the first thing I appreciated about this is I could open up the package without using 20 utensils. You know what talking about.
I know. You and need a knife to get into the knife sharpener.
You know, it's a knife. You know, some of these packages you got, you would think that there's something in these packages like heroin. The way that they close them up, I mean, I don't understand what they think we need to use
right.
to open them. I mean,
right.
it's like somebody needs to come up with a gadget. No, I'm sorry. Somebody did came up with a gadget and it didn't mm-hmm. work. I'm not going to say the company.
Oh.
But anyway,
okay.
But anyway, so to get to this. Introduce yourself to my audience.
Oh, hi, everyone. This is Linda Hewlett from Hewlett Manufacturing, Jewel Stick Diamond Knife Sharpeners.
So tell us about, like, you know, what makes these knife sharpeners different from all other knife sharpeners?
Well, first of all, anytime you have a product, it's always nice to have the original inventor of that product, which would be Hewlett Manufacturing. My father-in-law, Harlan D. Hewlett, invented the first diamond wheel ever used back in the 1950s. So when it comes to diamond coating, we kind of feel that we are the experts. So the diamond coating will not wear off. It does last a lifetime. And then on top of that, he was also the original inventor of the oval shape for knife sharpening. When you have a round scenario, you don't get as much touch to the knife. The oval provides more touch to your knife, so you get a quicker edge. And, of course, the diamond, you know, removes metal, so you get a fast edge.
Aha. So, yeah. Now, we were also talking about with the ceramic knives.
Uh-huh.
And...
Now, you might have been talking to someone else about ceramic.
In terms of sharpening?
Yeah, you can sharpen ceramic knives on our diamond sharpeners.
Oh, you can? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You just need to be very careful. Those ceramic knives are very expensive.
Yeah, they're very expensive. I know.
Yeah.
It's like any knives, right?
Any knives. Tactical knives, hunting knives, you know, boning knives for fishing, your beautiful cutlery in your kitchen. It'll sharpen any hardness of steel. Tungsten carbide if you have tools. And the beauty of what we're bringing to the market this year is the three-sided sharpeners. There are a lot of sharpening kits out there where they give you the different grits, but you have to change the instruments back and forth. What Jewel Stick is offering this year is three grits on one stick in the palm of your hand. No setup, no kits, nothing. It's all one unit. So you would have a coarse grit to give yourself a new edge, and then a medium grit to sharpen that new edge, and then a fine grit which will hone that new edge, and it's like razor sharp. You could slice through a soft tomato or a hard pineapple, or you know, your knives will be beautiful. And the good thing is that it takes good care of your knives.
Now I have by the way, Melody, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
Listening.
I now have a co-host.
Okay.
She may ask you questions, and that's fine. She wasn't at the sneak peek and doesn't know anything about this.
Uh-huh.
So what I want to ask you is like the one that I got. Now, first there was the back in the days of the stone,
the Stone Age. When you know that, and they were pretty good. Those dive shows. You just took a stone and you did it.
Sure.
You know. And but the I guess what I call like the latest thing is this. It's got like I don't know, what do you want to call them? You know, like I don't say stripes. You know what I'm talking about? That goes up and down.
Oh, that's not the latest thing. That's the Stone Age thing. You're talking about butcher seals. You're talking about a round steel on a handle that has lines in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a butcher steel, and that's been around since the Stone Age. But what a butcher steel does, Meryl, is when your knife has gone dull, your edge has rolled over. Okay, so the butcher steel pushes that metal back up again, back to your original point. So, and then that's good, and you want to use that on your knife. I would never discontinue butcher steel using. And what the diamond does is after you've used that butcher steel a couple times, that metal will break off, and then now you really have a dull knife. There's no edge on that knife. So the diamond literally removes metal from the edge of your knife and gives you a new edge. A butcher steel maintains your edge. A diamond steel gives you a new edge. So what a chef in a restaurant or a butcher shop or, you know, will do is they'll sharpen their knife on the diamond, get a good edge going, and then as they're working, the knife, you know, they're chopping all day long, they'll sharpen on the butcher steel, work some more, sharpen on the butcher steel, work some more, go back to the diamond. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, you know, this will be interesting because I'm doing a boot camp at the CIA in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that part of the boot camp on all of their courses is, well, not all of them, a lot of them, are just how to use your knife.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably, you know, are going to show, you know, how to sharpen it. It'll be interesting to see what they're using.
Sure, sure.
Well, you'd be prepared, won't you?
Well, I'll tell you, let me send you a small one that we have for exactly those purposes, for sporting goods, backpacking, fishing, your tackle box, that kind of thing. And it also comes in that three grits on one stick. So you can still have coarse, medium, and fine, but it folds down to like 4 inches. You throw it in your backpack. The nice thing is, you know, although you have a knife, a dull knife doesn't do you any good. You know, you have to have a sharp knife to get yourself out of the situations you might get into.
Right. Well, by the way, Melody owns USA Travel Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So we're also like, we're going to be talking, especially if there's items that are like travel-worthy kind of thing that I saw at the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is something really, this is a good idea.
Sure. I mean, anybody that's backpacking, you know what I mean? Your knife is a part of survival. And, you know, you could take this little, I'll send you a sample of it. I didn't have any with me today because we don't really consider that a houseware item.
Yeah.
But,
Right. Yep,
so I'll send you and your co-host there, and then you guys tell me what you think. What's that?
Small enough that travelers can take them with them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
So how did you get into this, by the way?
I married into it.
Okay.
I've been married for 23 years now. This is my father-in-law's business. So I married into the business, but I was never involved in the business. I had my own career that I was doing, and the last 8 years I was running our own restaurant and nightclub. And I recently sold that because I have a young teenage daughter that I wanted to spend more time with. So, and since then, my father-in-law has passed on, and that left my husband and his brother to run the business. My husband is the creative and technology person, And my brother-in-law is the accounts receivable and accounts payable and the financial person.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of them really are interested in doing PR, marketing, sales. So I am kind of the mouth of the company. Yeah. It works. It's a beautiful fit.
So who came up with this particular, you know, with the diamond?
Actually, that's my father-in-law that invented the oval diamond knife sharpener well over 40 years ago. And then the 1-2-3, my husband has developed all the new products. He just gets these creative juices running through his blood. And, you know, there's always that inventor mentality. You know, you look at something and you go, hey, this could work this way.
Right.
And that's what he does.
So basically you have different products that have to deal with the knife sharpening.
Yes.
And are they all made with the diamond?
They are all made with diamond, and they're all made in the USA. So if people out there that are listening are interested in purchasing American-made products, jewel stick, diamond knife sharpeners, and they can go on our website, www.jewelstick.com. The only thing they really need to remember is jewel stick is spelt with S-T-I-K.
Ah.
There's no C in that word stick.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I'm going to, at some point, I haven't made dinner yet. I've got back and whatever, you know. And I think, okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sharpen one of my knives and cook dinner and see how easy it is to cut something finally.
Oh, good.
Oh, but even more so, I think one of the things that I've been doing, I've been having sashimi. And
mm-hmm.
so I get the fish and I try to slice it up as nice as they do it.
Sure.
And I'm going, why isn't this coming out, you know,
yeah,
perfect?
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, it has to be, I have a lot of knives in the house, but it doesn't make any difference if they're not
right.
sharp enough
right.
to.
A sharp knife will yeah. make your cooking time so much more enjoyable. You won't get frustrated and you're not going to damage the visual of your food.
Yes.
You know, yep. Good. You will enjoy it. Please write me a letter. Let me know how things work out.
Oh, okay. Melanie, do you have any questions
yes.
you want to ask?
Oh, I was wondering if you had other products related to knives for people who travel or for the consumer.
We make the diamond knife sharpeners in different configurations and sizes to fit the sporting goods trade. To fit the hardware trade, because there's a lot of items that we produce that would sharpen tools of different nature. And then, of course, the housewares trade. We make diamond files that would, you know, round your corners, whether it's for ceramic tile or brick
or wood. Would that get people out of jail?
It would help you break out of jail. Yeah.
You didn't hear that here.
I didn't say a word. www.jewelstick.com.
In other words, you don't really want to comment on that, huh? That's okay. But this is really cool. I'm really glad that you called in. I'm gonna follow up on this. And I'll sharpen up a knife, and who knows? Maybe I'll do a little YouTube of my sharpening
sure.
up a knife and cutting something.
Well, I don't know if I had mentioned it to you today, but I'm on a mission for 2010 to educate women on sharpening their knives in their kitchen.
Uh-huh.
I see a lot of my friends, they get very frustrated and, you know, they'll just throw their knives back in the drawer and pick up another one because they don't sharpen their knives.
And it's that all, as long as it can cut that goddamn tomato, we're really happy.
Exactly.
It's
or bread
a
without
tomato.
Squishing it, you know? Yeah. So, well, listen, Meryl, it was a real pleasure. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're going to a show. That's right.
We are. My daughter and I got tickets for Billy Elliot.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. Yes, enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I almost forgot. Enjoy the show, and I'll be in touch with you.
Very good. And thank you to your co-host.
Yes, it was nice talking to you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yes.
Thank
you so much. I mean, I always understood, but the way she was talking about the diamond and the supreme cutting that you can get by using that, it makes a lot of sense, because I don't think about it. I don't even like being in the kitchen and cooking, but hey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't like cooking?
No, Leroy does the cooking.
That's okay. Now, I love to cook, because I like to, it's not as much as, like, guys like to create, women like to cook, that's what I got. Guys like to, do you know why, this is what I heard as to why men make better chefs. Have you ever heard the reason as to why they do?
No.
Supposedly they make better chefs because they can't get pregnant, and so they have to do something that's creative.
Okay, I see.
So that's their form of trying to create things. This is what I heard. I guess maybe though, you know, of course, then the silly thing that happens is that, you know, like, guys usually they don't want to cook. No, it's the wife that does the cooking, you know. But if they go out and they get paid for it, that's different.
Right.
You know, that's a whole different story. So, So, while I'm waiting for somebody from the Housewares show to call in. Where was the last place you went to when you traveled, by the way?
The last place we went to was Key West.
Key West.
Yes.
We'll start getting into the what did you see there? Was there anything like that you saw? Have you been there before? Have you been there before?
Yeah.
No.
Also,
I can't ask you what's new.
Yeah. So we actually started from, we flew into Miami and traveled all the way down the Keys.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Drove from one spot to the other and met a lot of interesting characters of the Keys. And Howard Livingston was one of those, and Howard Livingston and the Mile Marker 24 band. And he's just really rocking them down there, you could say. And he was real nice. They play a lot of clubs. He's got some events coming up. Actually, he's going to be playing at the West Palm Beach at the South Florida Fair in January the 14th through the 18th. So we met lots of interesting people down there.
That's great.
Yeah.
But in terms of the Keys themselves, I mean, aside from Key West, like, what other Keys that you, like, go to, or what other, like, cities or whatever you want to call them?
And we went to Esmeralda.
Oh, I was going to ask you, about that one.
There are so many Keys there that it's hard to keep track of them all. The easiest way I found to keep track of where you're going, or to figure out where you're going, were the mile markers.
Right, yeah.
Now, you said you had been to Key West.
Yeah, I was at Key West. Actually, the first time I was down there, because it was this a club called the Monster, and I went down there specifically to entertain. And I'm thinking back in my brain, I know I went. I don't remember the experience at all. But that was the first time that I was down there. But in owning timeshare, I went down there a week for that. But I probably, and then I went down there a third time, staying at Isla Mirada. Isla Mirada,
Yes, I.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, that place.
Yeah.
There's amazing artists and people working to help the wildlife down there. And there's also, did you go to the Sunset Celebration when you were in Key West?
Oh, yeah. The Sunset Celebration is like, that's they do every night. Isn't that interesting how they do that, like, every night?
Well, I think it's such a great event. There are so many artists and performers there. We met Bill Soto, the gentleman who is actually one of the founding fathers of the event. And he was very passionate about, he was the acrobat with, did the tight roping, has been there forever. And they really inspire artists to come and express themselves and performers. And it is such a wonderful venue for the artists and performers, but also gives everybody who comes into Key West such a fabulous experience right there every night, and to be somewhere that, where else can you be where you can celebrate the sunset every night?
That's why I thought it was like so cool. And it's not like, well, and I don't know if they still do this, like in Provincetown, maybe just during the summer months, because I haven't seen it in a while, on every Friday night, they would celebrate the sunset with drumming.
That's cool.
And that I thought was pretty cool. I mean, it would drum until it would end exactly when the sun set. Then they had to stop right then and there. So I thought that was cool. But this whole thing with the what I like about is that everybody knows this happens every night, and it's almost like you come together. And if you were there, let's say if you spent a week there, you would probably make friends.
Exactly.
You know, and just, you know, talk to anybody, talk to people, and just, you know.
Well, and the character of the Keys, the concept of the Key West especially is, and the Keys, is that all people are created equal members of one human family. And that is their motto. And when you're there, it's like being with your friends and your family. You feel welcome there. And very nice.
Did you go to, what's the heck's his name? The house with the cats.
Hemingway.
Yes.
Hemingway House. We did not make it there, but I found that the best way to figure out where you're going is to take one of the trolley tours. There's the conch tour, and then there's the old trolley tour, which is similar to what you find in St. Augustine. And it takes you all the way around the island. And if you get on there, then you could actually go on, take a tour of the whole island, get your feeling of where things are, and then you can get back on and off of the trolley.
Right.
So go to the Hemingway House and see the house and the cats, and then actually get back on it to get back where you wanted to go. And that was the best way I found to get around, to see and take in all the sights.
And did you get to the most southern place and get your photo taken?
I watched people take photos.
Oh, okay.
A huge thing that looks like a dinghy, I wasn't really interested. I found it more enjoyable watching the people do it. They were just having a blast. We were talking about the different keys. And, I believe it's Tavern was an upper key. And there is the Florida Keys Wild Bird Rehabilitation Center.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Yes, and that's actually at mile marker 93.6. There is a woman named Laura there who has been working to save the birds. She has so many birds. Her name is Laura Quinn, and she is really one of the heroes of the Keys, as well as Mandy Rodriguez with the Dolphin Research Center, and they're just down the ways at mile marker 59. All of these people who work with nature down there really have such a passion for it. And not far away from Mandy, at mile marker 48, is the Turtle Hospital in Marathon. And they take in turtles that have been hit by boats. And where Laura takes in the birds, they take in the turtles. And Mandy takes care of the dolphins. And each one of these two places, these people are very passionate about helping people understand the importance of taking care of nature, not just in the Keys, but everywhere. And did you know that the turtles, once they get hit, that they get these bubbles under their shells where they actually float to the surface and they can't get under the water?
No.
That at right there in Key West, at the Florida, at the aquarium that's there, it's a beautiful little aquarium, you'll see turtles that are kind of floating lopsided. And at the turtle hospital, they're actually rehabilitating turtles. Some of them cannot get back in the water, but they are putting weights on them to help them stay in the water so they can go under the water somewhat.
Wow.
Really sad. They call them bubble butts.
So, but they're not using cement like they do with people, huh?
No, they've got, it looks like a...
So they don't tie little blocks of cement, you know, for the little feet, do they?
No, they're not mobsters. That's the kind you find in New York in the Bay or out there in the Hudson.
Okay. You didn't swim with the dolphins, did you?
No. I got to touch the dolphins and talk to the dolphins. But
aren't
I didn't swim with
aren't
the
they cute?
Yes. And
yeah.
Their skin is like a, it's like, it's not, it's so smooth. It's like having like leather that's wet.
Yeah, it's true. What about food wise? Any interesting food that you ate?
Food. Oh,
yeah.
There's so much great food there. One of our favorite places that we found was the Cafe Tropical, and it's right there next to the Mel Fisher's Maritime Museum, next to the Mallory Square. And they have they have Cuban food. And it's like, I think it's a 218 Whitehead. This place is cozy little place. The gentleman who served us was wonderful, and he asked for something unique, something that was not, like, heavy, and he brought me out this amazing chicken rice soup that had just the right amount of spices, and there were nice chunks of chicken, and it was really good. And
did you try the conch?
Yeah. Well, the conch fritters, those weren't too bad.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Conch Republic, or what was it? The Conch Republic Seafood Company.
Uh-huh.
They have those there. And they also have shrimp appetizers that are just amazing. And that is like, Cafe Tropical is a great place if you're looking for a great place to eat for a light meal or to get out of the cool. They've got like fans blowing with misters, and you can have a beer and relax. And then the Conch Republic Seafood Company, you can actually go down there and they got a nice bar and great dinner choices on the menu. And that's like you can even take your pets there. They can go hang out with you and have a beer. And not that the dog's going to want a beer, but you can go hang out there, and that's pretty cool. You said you were down there doing a show.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Oh, God. That had to be, let's see, minimum 25 years ago, easily.
Wow.
Oh, easily. At least 25 years ago.
And that was the last time you were there?
No, that was actually that was the first time. And I'm thinking that might have been... it was definite, let's see, it had to be before 1980, easily before 1980. But the last time, I think the last time I was there, I did, that's when I did timeshare in Isla Morada. By the way, did you meet Mel Fisher?
No.
Oh, I met Mel Fisher. I have a picture of me with putting one of his finding around my neck. I asked him if I could take it home. He said no.
Did you go to the museum while you were there? The Mel Fisher Museum?
Yeah.
Did you try to lift a nice piece of chunk of gold that's in there?
No, I didn't even try.
Yeah. You're standing there and you're looking at all this gold and you're thinking, oh my goodness, how could I take it home?
Well, the only way you could take it home, I think they were taking some of the gold and making them into things.
About like
to wear, you know.
Yes.
That type of stuff. So prior to the Keys, where were you?
Prior to the Keys?
Yeah.
Montgomery, Alabama.
So between when I saw you in Montgomery, didn't you go someplace after?
Let's see. Key West. I think that was it. Oh, well, we went here in Indy. We went down to the recent Pacers game here.
The what? I'm sorry?
The Pacers basketball.
Oh, okay.
And I hate to say this, but I've never been to a basketball game.
Oh.
And although the Pacers did, they were going against Memphis, I believe it was, Tennessee, and
uh-huh.
It was interesting. The court, we're sitting like the 19th row up in the middle section, and of course you get the nosebleed sections way up high, but they've got these amazing big screens where you can actually see everything that's going on, and for being there the first time, I was amazed at how much action there is and how much excitement there is at a basketball game. And
uh-huh.
Just watching them, it was never a moment of non-action or excitement unless they leave the commercial.
Right. I like sports that are, you know, I used to like baseball, and then it's like, okay. At some point, some they'll hit or not hit the ball. But it was worse after football. Football made it to the point of it just keeps going and going and going. The only thing that bothered me about football is like there's 9 minutes to play and it's like. So why is it taking a half an hour?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pacers are playing in Conseco Fieldhouse, and that was the first time that I've ever been there. And it's amazing how much space there is. There's plenty to do there as far as if you want to eat, there is shopping, of course. But they had several different restaurants, and the space was really clean. And they look like they've done a great job of keeping everything together and keeping the people entertained. And the security, there was no problems with security. They just, you go in and they check you and you're on your way to the seats. And it
cool.
seemed like everybody was enjoying a good time there at the Pacer game.
What about prior to Montgomery? So where'd you go?
Prior to Montgomery, I believe we were in St. Louis on the Black History Tour. And that is, St. Louis has a lot of Black history going on there. That you walk down right there in front of the courthouse, just a block or so away from the arch, and you don't realize how much history happened just in that little area.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think we finally got Lisa calling in, don't we? Lisa?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi, yes, this is Lisa.
All right. Better late than never, Lisa.
I'm so sorry. For some reason, I thought you said 7:40, and it wasn't. It was 7:20,
it was
so 7:20. I apologize.
So it's 7:20, but you think it's 7:20 Jewish Standard Time.
I guess so, yes. I am always running a little bit late, so I apologize.
All right, that's okay. So I want to get into this. I already was speaking about the knife sharpener that I saw, the diamond with the diamond knife sharpener.
Yes.
But I wanted first, I'll comment on some of the things that I took home with, that I got to take home. And by the way, it kept the look,
It kept looking like everybody was going, come here, little girl, I got candy for you. It's like, didn't it? It's like everybody suddenly had candy at their table, which, of course, had nothing to do with their product, you know. And but I thought that was kind of cute. I was commenting about this gigantic cupcake that I was given.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm going, what does this have to do? But I realized afterwards that that's one of the things that they're selling is this thing so you can inject whatever you want into the cupcake.
Well, actually, that product, it's more, it's a cupcake corer, similar to an apple corer. It takes the middle out of the cupcake so that you can fill it with whatever you would like to. So if it's a cupcake and you want to put jam inside, or if you want to put some kind of a filling, a frosting inside, or any other types of filling, you could even possibly filling with candy if you'd like to. Or if you were making maybe instead of cupcakes, you were using muffins. If you're doing a cornbread, you could fill it with chili or any of those types of things that you might like.
What was the company? Wasn't that the...
That was, I believe that was Cuis Pro.
Okay.
Cuispro.
Okay.
And so new, they didn't even have any press literature on it. It's something that they'll be introducing at the Houseware Show in March.
Okay. Well, before we get into that, so let's talk about, I see here, Sweet Cuis Pro, Apple Cora, Cleaning Brush, Cherry Olive Pitter. Are you sure that's the one? Wait a minute.
They didn't have the literature on it. Yes. Almost positive. Hold on. Let me see if I have it in front of me.
Wait a minute. I thought that was the one.
It's Cuis Pro, and the product... Hold on a second. What did I just do with it?
I have the book in front of me that they...
Hold on a second.
It's funny. I thought it was... what's that... God, I can't think of it. Wait a minute.
There was another cupcake company called Kunrikon, and that was something a little different. Hold on a second. Yes, because I have my very own Crumbs cupcake as well. It was definitely
Was it? You know what?
Cuispro. Cuisy Pro, I guess.
It was. Cuisy. You know, because I don't know, for some reason, I've been around. For some reason, I thought it was over at where Hamilton Beach was.
It was right next to where Hamilton Beach
was. Oh, okay. That's why, because I'm thinking, what does this have to do with Hamilton Beach? There I was looking at those little ice cream makers.
Yes, Hamilton Beach had the single-serving soft-serve ice cream maker.
Yeah, I thought that was, I can't wait to try that, to get that, to make some gelato.
Yes, you can use it for anything. I think you can even make frozen yogurt out of it.
Oh,
so.
Cool. And the other thing that, Aladdin?
Aladdin, yes. Did you see, I liked their line of,
the lunchbox stuff.
The lunchbox, yes.
And
it was all recycling.
I have the four pieces here. And you know, I'm going to get them on the show, but you know what I was looking at in terms of that? It's great, for taking lunches, but it's also, if you're doing some, a diet at home, and
right.
What you do is you fill them up, and that could be what you're having for, I don't know whether the day or, it's probably maybe too much for one meal. So in other words, unless you use you have your things that have the snacks, you have the, you know.
Right. Well, when I was looking at the product today, you could put celery in one, and then maybe you can put if you're going to use maybe peanut butter for that. You don't have to put all different types of food. You can put if you're using some kind of maybe dressing or
right.
something of that nature. But talking about diets, did you see the dinnerware called Slimware?
I didn't stop there. What about that one?
I thought it was interesting. It's basically just regular tableware, but the product, the design of it, each one of them may have a flower or something, but it's in varying different shapes. So maybe if there are four different flowers on there, the larger flower represents portion control of the amount of vegetable servings you should have with each meal. And then the smaller flower is for protein, and the other one is for dressing and everything. So
yeah,
it's basically portion control on the plate. So a lot of people maybe, you know, don't know, like if you're on a diet and they say, well, you know, you should only have like a fistful size of it. It's hard for some people to tell. So it's all kind of laid out as part of the pattern of the product. I thought that was kind of an interesting take on it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't stop there because I just thought, oh, okay, and another dinnerware place. Not that it, you know, it's kind of. But now, as you said that, I said, oh, okay, now, yeah, I probably should have because it would have been, you know, something interesting. Of
it's
course,
just a
little
different.
I want my listeners to understand. By the way, it's that you and I are not necessarily endorsing.
No,
absolutely
not. Not
or,
at all.
You know, we're just kind of like gabbing about the things that were there. You know, things perked, you know, piqued my attention and, you know.
So in essence, what this was is a sneak preview of the products that will be showcased at the International Houseware Show in March. And unfortunately, that show is not open to the public. It is only open to, it's a business.
Oh, it's not? The Chicago one is not?
It is not open to the public. No.
Oh.
It's for the trade media. It's for the buyers and the manufacturers. It's an opportunity for the buyers to see some of the latest products. But this sneak preview is an opportunity to get the consumer press, give them an opportunity to see what may be on the store shelves later in the year.
Okay. Do you think, like, at the one in Chicago, do you think there'll be products that are marketable for, like, to travel with? I mean, for instance, I mean, I know this lunch thing that I have here. This is great. This is a great thing to use for traveling.
Right. There's always a right. I mean, the Houseware Show is very large, and it has products for every room in the house. There are over 2,000 companies that represent their 2,000 different exhibits, and they run from anything kitchenware like cookware, cutlery, gadgets, small electrics. There's even pet care products there. There are things for home organization and storage and dinnerware. So, I mean, it's a wide variety of different products. So there are some travel products there as well.
So you could take them with you and use them in your motorhome.
Right, like they would have, right, if they have, like, travel. There are some companies there that have travel electrics, for example, travel hair dryers, travel irons, and things of that nature. Other companies have smaller, you know, travel-oriented products. But I don't think there's no one section for travel. It's just, you know, each individual company, you know, may or may not have.
Merle was talking about the many different items that she saw, and it sounds like there were a lot of things that are going to be coming up that the consumers may be interested in. Is there one that you like the most, Merle?
Yeah. Well, I was going crazy. I mean, I have to tell the one, and I did this as a video. I couldn't help it. I have this thing about ironing. And what it is if I'm ironing, it's like if it's wrinkled and I iron it, I want all the wrinkles out. Either I want all the wrinkles out or I don't want to iron it at all. And I've been deciding on that I want to put out a PR thing that wrinkled is the in thing. This way people don't have to iron anymore. And you can all wear wrinkled clothes and it's the style. But anyway, and I did try one of those, you know, the steamers with the hanger on the hanger. You know what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
Lisa, right?
Right.
Okay. Personally, it seemed great when they were demonstrating it, but at home it's going, how do I pull this? And, you know, because what I kept getting is you don't just use the steam and it goes away. You know, you have to actually pull the material. And I'm going, I don't know how I you know, I can't use it. I need somebody to come over the house and do the pulling while he's steaming, you know. Okay, so I just kind of let it go. But this company, I think, is Lauristar.
Lauristar is the name of the brand, yes.
Jesus, I couldn't believe it. This iron, the whole system that they have, I've never seen wrinkles come out so wonderfully before, you know. And I think they're gonna send one to me, and I'm gonna do this whole thing. My thing with clothing, especially, like now I've ironed out all the wrinkles and whatever. And now I wear it, and only an hour later, somehow all the wrinkles come back. And then I go home, and it's not dirty. I just, I'm only wearing it for a short period of time, and now I hang it up, and I'm going, great, now I got to iron the damn thing again. But this thing makes looks like it's so easy.
It looks like a very simple product to use, and I liked about it is it's also very convenient because it folds clothes, and
yes,
it has integrated wheels on the bottom, so you can roll it from one room to the other. So, for example, if your laundry room is not in the room where there's a television, and you want to do a bulk load of ironing, you can kind of move it into another room and do, a significant amount of ironing. So, but it looks very easy to clean. The iron is built in almost to the ironing board. It has a steam reservoir built into one of the legs of the iron, and it's attached with a hose. So the steam comes directly from the reservoir underneath the ironing board table, so that you can iron very quickly. Sorry, that is my dog.
Oh.
Sorry. He's a very little dog with a very large bark.
Okay, that's all right.
Let me see if I can get him to stop.
We could say those words on the air whenever he's there.
Got his opinion, too.
Yeah. Cool.
So, he's just very nosy. He needs to know what's going on around the world.
Oh, okay. They also, I thought it was interesting that I'm going to test out is these company Lodge manufacturer, and they have these. I think this is the one with the deep dish, the dishes that are made out of glass.
Yes, Lodge manufacturing. They make they're very well known for their cast iron cookware, and yes, they have the. They had the Dutch oven in the different colors. I think it was in red and blue, and I think they had the glass
lids. Was that the one that has the glass?
With the glass lids, yes.
No, not the glass lid. No, it must be a different one.
Oh, you're talking about the company from, I think it was from Sweden? Is that the
maybe,
other?
And it was cookware made out of glass.
Yes,
that
cookware
you could
made out of glass.
That you could put on the stove. And you could also
that was.
Put it away and stuff like that. Do you know which one?
I'm trying to think. It wasn't Pyrex, was it?
No, I'm looking cheating.
That's not the glass.
I'm looking in the book over here to see if there's a photo of it.
I'm trying to think which one that was. I can't recall the name of it. Where that looks like glass.
I think it was all of their stuff was
it Anchor Hocking? A lot of their stuff is glass.
They were all of the cookware was made out of glass. I'm looking at this. I don't see any quick photo in this in the book of what it was.
I don't recall seeing that.
And I'm looking now. I don't see it in the book. And that was their whole thing.
It was clear glass.
Yeah, clear glass. And I thought, oh, that's a pretty cool thing that you, cookware that you could made
kind
of glass that you could put. Yeah, they said it's you could bake it, you could put it in the, you could serve in it, you could do everything. with this. And yes, cool. I'm looking in this thing here, and I don't see it. I guess when I get it.
I didn't recall seeing that today.
Uh huh. All right. Then there
did
was.
Did you see the toaster that had the radio built into it?
Isn't that funny?
I thought that was really. It's a two-slice electric toaster, and it's got an AM/FM radio right in the front of it, so you can listen to music while you're toasting.
Okay. There you go. Well, you got refrigerators with TVs in them. Why not a radio?
Of course not. Why not a radio toaster?
Yeah, with it, you know. then I was also over at the Verilux.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of their products. As a matter of fact, it's in, I don't know if you've ever tried the products. One of them is the light, and I keep it, you know, near where I sit. And it emulates sunlight.
Right.
And so it's as if like you're getting that sunlight that you need to have when it's the winter time.
Right.
Aside from, you know, the sanitizing wands, which now you need all the time.
No, did you see the wake-up light?
Yes,
I liked that one a lot.
That's what they're sending me.
Oh, okay.
Because I said, oh, this has to be cool because I can't stand, you know, this is so much better than the radio going off or stuff like that. There's a spa in Manhattan. I don't know if you know about this. I have to Yellow, YELO.
Mhm.
And it's all what you do, you this is their basic thing. You go there and you sit in this absolutely wonderful chair. Yeah, you're lying there, and the first thing they do is they massage your feet. But they do what's that type of thing?
Reflexology?
Yes. After they do the reflexology, and I think it's like 20 minutes, then you go to sleep. They put this that you're in this room. You choose the aromatherapy you want, and you choose the color light. And I think there's one, two, or three colors. Okay. And then the lights go off, and you're lying there in this absolutely wonderful chair, and there's also background. Like you choose music or whatever kind of thing, and you go to sleep.
Very nice.
And that's all you do is you sit and you go to sleep. And the way they don't knock on the door when it's done, what happens is that this light comes on gradually to emulate, like as if
sunlight.
It's sunlight. Yes. And that's how you wind up waking up. So when I saw this, I said, I have to try this at home. Of course, you have to make sure you're sleeping in a room that's dark enough, you know?
Right.
Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. You won't even really notice.
That's true.
Yeah. But I thought, yeah, that was cool. My cats absolutely love Verilux because they're smart. Cats know they need to have sunlight. So they're always running to, you know, be near a window or in a window. And they also got that, well, you know, it's not always nice and bright all the time. So I have a Verilux, because they have bulbs, specific, you know, bulbs you put in. And I have one, and I keep this particular light on, and it's near the couch. And so they go over to the couch to sit because of the light. Get that light. So that was they've endorsed Verilux for me. I didn't have to do anything. The other thing I saw that competition wise or whatever. The humidifiers.
Yes.
With using cold water.
Cool mist humidifiers. There were quite a few of them. And there were quite a few products that were, I guess if you wanted to say, were fitted around the theme of safety or sanitary. Cool mist humidifiers, like the Verilux products. And also, I don't know if you saw the touchless or the infrared paper towel dispenser.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that cool?
I thought that was very good. I thought it mounts under the counter, which is really nice, and then you don't actually have to touch the paper towel to dispense, a piece of paper, so you're not contaminating the rest of the roll if you're, maybe if you've been cooking with, raw chicken or anything of that nature.
Right.
You just kind of hit the infrared light, and then it'll dispense the paper, and once you stop, it'll cut the paper for you as well. So I
right.
thought that was a really interesting product.
Yeah, that was, I'll get that. A lot of the things what I'm able to do this time is when I get the products at home is not just to, write about it, but actually, videotape myself, using it and then putting it on YouTube and my blog site so people can get a sense of, not just looking at it, but, what it's doing,
How it helps people, then.
Yeah. Then I got Hoover. I went over to Hoover, and I go, oh, no, what has Hoover got now? Oh, no. Because they go, come on over here. And I'm going, oh, no, I already have two of their vacuums now. But they did come out. I love their vacuums, the wind tunnel vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have the one that they have is the I'm looking at this thing. It's not the vacuum. They had the vacuum. They had the stick vac. Oh, they had the carpet cleaner.
Right.
We have one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you have it's a Hoover.
Yes, it's a Hoover.
And what's your take on it?
It seems to work exceptionally well, especially when your pet has an accident. This one also has an attachment where you can do the furniture, which is even better when your dog slobbers on the furniture. Since we don't have little ones in the house, little kids in the house anymore. But it also, you can do the stairs and the couch and the floors. And it works really nice. And it's kind of big, but it's not like as big as the ones they used to have.
Mm-hmm.
Steams everything, so it also sanitizes it.
Cool. That's good. All right. I'm looking forward to trying that one. Now, Lisa, what about I see the stuff I saw in terms of today. Do you know stuff that might be coming up as far as that'll be in Chicago? Do you know any of the, I'll call that a sneak peek of some other things that people would see, at the one in Chicago that wasn't here?
I'm just starting to get that information now. What I do in advance of the show is I write a press release and I try and identify some of the new exhibitors and their new products. So I'm just trying to gather that information now. I don't have it all.
Okay.
To be honest with you, some of them don't want to share it with me right wait until the show to kind of make a big splash. So to
oh,
speak.
Okay.
But I might find out a little bit more within the next couple of weeks.
You see any trend?
I'm sorry?
Any trend, anything that's...
Well, I mean, doesn't seem like a trend that you've not heard of before, but because of the economy, a lot of people are spending time at home more, entertaining at home more, eating at home more. I think that's why a lot of the products like the ice cream maker and all of those types of products, even I don't know if you saw at the show, the preview, Brazilian barbecue grill.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
Like, kind of all along the lines of, things that we can do at home to have kind of fun. We're not going to be going out to dinner as much, but so we may want to recreate some of those at home. So that's not a trend that's brand new, but I think because of the economy, I don't think people are doing anything dramatically different than they had in the past. I think it's just kind of gaining strength, and we're seeing a little bit more of it. The other trend I mentioned was the safety issue. People are very concerned about viruses and germs, and the cool mist humidifiers are very popular. The floor sanitizers are very popular.
Right, yeah.
you know, the idea of, you know, the hands-free paper towel dispenser. Just different ways of trying to keep your family safe, you know, while you're home. So, I mean, in terms of an overall trend that I haven't seen before, no, I didn't see anything and I haven't heard of anything yet. But I think it's just more of a trend that's strengthening as, you know, people kind of, I don't want to say hibernate, but they're spending a lot more time home.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, well, I'm going to let you go. I'll let you know, like, keep in touch, you know, I'll let you know as some of the people are coming on to talk about the particular products, and you know, I could push the one in Chicago, but, you know, I don't want to, like, to, you know, the audience out there is going to say, well, I can't go, so what are you telling us?
I guess what we could do is, well, when I'm out there in Chicago, if I find out some of the products, we could always give the audience a sneak peek of some
That's
of the things
true.
That are on display there, and they'll know what's coming to their store soon. So.
Yes, that's I can have
something like that.
That might be a great idea. Maybe I can get in touch with some of the other people, and you know, and get some of the products here, and you know, and play with them and test them out. And say what's at, you know, what I got at the show, what I didn't get at the Chicago show.
Okay, that sounds like a great idea.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Have a great evening, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you, you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Cool, huh?
There's a lot of cool stuff out there. It's a bummer that it's not open to the public, but, you know, if you can talk to her and arrange to get an insight of what's coming, then you can let people know about it.
Yeah. How far are you from Chicago?
Oh, a couple hours from Chicago.
Oh, okay. I don't know whether to pay. You may want to go to the other thing I heard about the Chicago show, which is why I won't go, is it's enormous. It's just so many things. It's like if you can deal with so many things, being there, then by all means, I would probably go. I don't know where to begin and whatever. I mean, it took me, let's see, easily 2 hours just to, you know, walk around to all the places without even sitting down and whatever. Just go from one place to another.
Even more than the Travel Media Showcase.
Oh, yeah. You mean the speed dating, huh?
Speed dating, exactly.
Yeah.
Speed dating for travel.
Oh, goodness gracious. I got did I tell you about that I got in touch with Suwannee
no.
River Valley?
Really? Okay. That's
in
Florida.
This is, the Florida, and I think we're talking about the end of February.
That'd
going
nice.
There. So what are you doing at the end of February?
Well, I'll have to find out what we're doing and see what we can arrange.
Yeah, that could be a possibility because I called up the guy, and the first thing I was asked, because I don't know what the weather is. I mean, to me, you know, it's cold everywhere. And I was just asking the guy, you know, when is it safe to come down there? You know, but when someone else answered the phone, I was asking about, you know, cold. They thought it's cold in February. And I said, what do you consider cold versus what do I consider cold?
Well, we got like a couple, I don't know, we got at least 4 inches of snow outside, and it's almost zero right now.
Huh?
What is it there where you're at?
It was like about, it was not at the freezing point.
Well,
right now, I don't. I don't think it's.
We got a refrigerator outside. Actually, it's probably colder than our refrigerator.
Oh God!
Florida, 55 is cold to them. We went down a couple of years ago at Christmas, and that was when we had feet of snow here, and we barely got out. They were closing the highways behind us, but then when we got there, it was 55. So while it was warmer, you still needed a jacket.
Right. But they were saying to me, like, they felt like anything below 70 is gold. And I go, give me 70 anytime.
I'll take 70. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's fine for me. You know? But so that's what it might be at the end of February, kind of, you know, like that. And I said,
because
what I'm looking to do is, you know, as the year is going on, I want to start traveling, but I want to go to where it's not. I'm not a snow bunny. Do you ski?
No, I tried it once. I managed to make it down to the bottom of the hill, still standing up, and that was.
I refuse to pay somebody to fall down their mountain. You know, so I don't go skiing at all.
I would like to see that. That would be fun to watch.
Have you ever gone snowmobiling?
No, I have not done that.
That's cool. That's a fun thing to do, to snowmobile. I'll do in the winter. I mean, I'm like, it's really funny to see me so totally bundled up to do it, though.
We're all the Eskimo.
Oh, God. All right, so let's get back. You were talking about, from the basketball. Then you were talking about something else, right?
Yes, we had talked about the Black History Tour in St. Louis.
Right. Okay. So, when did you do St. Louis?
That was, I think it was in June of last year.
Okay.
It was right before June. And after that, we went to Indy. We came here to Indianapolis for a press trip. And I was going to say, if people want to find out what's going on in Indy, they can visit www.visitindy.com. And they can find news about the Pacers games, and we have an extraordinary art museum here. Our children's museum is one of the best in the country, and I know a lot of people say that. I just like going to children's museums because they wrap everything up into one place, and it's educational yet fun. And we don't have any little ankle biters running around, little kids running around anymore. So I get to go there and see the kids all happy and the families having a great time. And that's what traveling is all about.
Right.
You can find those places. And I'm sure you found plenty of places where you see the families enjoying themselves. And I think that's what makes a good trip or a couple enjoying themselves. And tell you who... people who were really enjoying themselves is the people who were at the 801 Bourbon Street Bar when Sushi was on stage. Did you go to that? Sushi is, she just dropped down into a red, big, giant red shoe this New Year's in Key West. And she has a drag queen show. And I've never been to one. And these girls are just hilarious.
God, I've been to too many. Having entered being an entertainer, and a lot of the places I entertained, there were gay bars, and so what happened is like, you know, drag shows were constantly coming in. I have no appreciation for drag shows at all. These people are not singing; they're lip syncing. And it's like, now that the 3 minutes have passed and I realize that you look like Cher, so what?
Right.
You know, but that's me.
I was thinking of it like karaoke, because a lot of people enjoy karaoke.
But they're getting paid to do karaoke.
Well, yeah.
To dress up and do karaoke.
Earn a living doing karaoke.
Yeah,
then.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that money for working.
No, they're not. They're not doing karaoke because they're not singing. With the drag shows, they're not actually singing. They're just lip syncing. With karaoke, you sing.
Okay, I can see that.
But
girl,
there's
But there's the other kind of shows where the guys are actually singing in their voices.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that makes a difference.
Okay, well, I haven't seen that. See, this is my first time ever seeing any kind of drag show.
All right, we'll have to take you to something.
And it was just an experience to see
mm-hmm.
the
yeah.
atmosphere. And everybody, for the most part, everybody was having a good time. And everybody was respectful and
mm-hmm.
they were just having a good time. It was kind of like watching karaoke. And the woman, Sushi, she comes out and she gets into the show and watching all of the girls who were there with her. Some of them, it was like they actually enhanced the show, even though they may be lip syncing.
Right.
They enhanced the show because they put on the went along with the thing and they added attitude to it. And I think that's what really made the show interesting for me, was to see how much they actually put into it.
Right.
See what you're saying, what they would be lip syncing. And it would be nice to go see another type of show where they're actually singing so that I can get a different perspective. But though for being the first time, I was really entertained, and it was one of those fun, off-the-beat things that we like exploring, and that was really cool. And then if people want to learn more about Sushi and everything there is, I mean, that's just one of the things there is to do in the Keys. There's so many things. If people want to learn about the things that we've talked about in the Florida Keys, they can call 1-800-FLA-KEYS or visit www.fla-keys.com. And you were talking about Esmeralda, and you had done a timeshare there. Do you find that for people with timeshares that it would be beneficial for them to go there to the Keys?
Do I find it? Well, because I own timeshare, I find it a great way to travel, only because personally it's like, if I'm going away for a week, I want to know that I can wash my clothes, that if I don't want to go out to eat, that I could cook. This is like the, you know, my feeling, you know, everything's like there. And, you know, there are a lot of people that, you know, they don't want to cook.
Right.
Then that's okay. But I don't mind cooking.
We'll have to remember that, because next time we get together, you can cook dinner.
I'm going off to the Culinary Institute for boot camp. So,
all right. See, now we got a thing going on here. You're going to fix something extraordinary, and then we can let your readers know just how extraordinary Jeff Merrill is.
Well, I want to change the subject because, like, when I opened up the show, I was commenting on this thing with the G-spot. So I wanted to kind of comment on what this is all about. Because I'm finding this whole thing, I found this whole thing quite humorous. So what has happened was that people who watched Dr. Oz, you know, Dr. Oz has become the word. You know, whatever Dr. Oz says, you know, is true, it's correct, and, you know, the right thing, and so on and so forth. And so I brought, let's say about 3 weeks ago, the thing that he was talking about, because he'll talk about everything, and he was talking about the G-spot. And is it a myth? And he said it's not. And he was like, well, not, I can't say if demonstrating, but as much as he could demonstrate pictorially or whatever, where it was located. And
okay.
trying for people to understand where the G-spot is located, how to find it, and this entire
it's
thing.
Women and men?
Well, they were telling, yes, so the men would also know where it is.
Okay.
Now, I don't mean, so the men can find it as well on the woman, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, that was, as usual, it was an interesting, you know, thing that he brought up. And I don't know, maybe 3-4 days ago, I'm watching TV, and I don't know whether it was more than one station, a major station, but they always do this, like, introduction to, you know, tell you what's coming up on the news. And it was like the top story seemed to be something having to do with the problems, the security problems at the airports and stuff like that. That was the number one. And the number two is the G-spot. Is it a myth? And I'm going, am I hearing this right? Wait a minute. This is the
we're
important thing. I decided to listen to the news because I was curious to see whether they were agreeing with Dr. Oz or not. Well, as it turned out, they said it's a myth.
Okay.
So I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, what's going to happen with Dr. Oz? Will people not ever believe him anymore? What's going to happen to all the women who finally found it? Are they now going to go, what the fuck was that then? But even more so, if this, you know, if it was a myth or it doesn't exist, perhaps somebody stole it. And this is what I think had happened, that someone has stolen the G-spot.
Someone
and now we have to go find it. And I think that the Homeland Security needs to be on this because we need to all, evidently, since it was there, you know, it was lost, and not just lost, but I think it was stolen.
Maybe, I mean, the way things are going and trying to look out for our security, that might be a new thing, that a security measure we have to go through at the airport is looking for the G-spot. If they had found looked for the G-spot on the gentleman's or the underwear, they might have found the bomb.
That's true. And we got to find out where it is. Or now there's the other phenomenon that if the G-spot moved...
Where did it go?
And do we have to give it another name?
It's behind the ear.
Yeah, I mean, we have to... That's the other thing. Now
if you're in France, perhaps, or somewhere where they're giving you a French kiss where they kiss you on both cheeks and they accidentally touch your ear, does that mean that you're going to have an
orgasm?
Right there on the spot.
I mean, we have to take all this into consideration. But what I think, by the way, I have Carmen San Diego is now looking for it because she looks at everything, you know.
How about where's Wawa?
By the way, Esther, my rubber chicken, that she's going to assist in trying to find it. She's so good. Yeah. But also, the other thing that happened, I think word must have gotten out about it being stolen, and somebody said there was a $100,000 reward for finding it. Well, apparently that must have what has happened because the other day I went to Stop and Shit, and while I was there, it's like a lot of the shelves seemed to be empty, and I didn't see boxes like where they were being stocked. So I have a feeling that in terms of the word got out that it might be in the food products, and people were just coming in and just buying things off the shelf so they can get the $100,000 reward. You know, it's like worse than like the prize in Wheaties or Cracker Jacks.
Yes. Now
you know?
Know.
So people indiscriminately are going to be buying, you know, food and for the reward. I don't know how they're going to...
The ticket with the Willy Wonka.
The what?
The golden ticket.
Yeah. Uh huh. I mean, but this is a thing that we have to, we don't know who stole it. My guess, it's got to be a guy, and he must have Venus envy. that must be what it is. But we have to,
Well, Mimi was going. Our dog Mimi. She's like a little black terrier dog, and she was out going crazy in the yard, making circles and rubbing around with her nose. So maybe she found it. I'll have to check
really?
That and see. And she was trying to. It was like inches out there, so she was really rutting around. So maybe it's there. If I find it, I'll let you know, and we can flip them.
Well, I'm gonna write an article in next week's Queens Times, and say, you know, like if anybody can think of some ideas of where it might have been hidden, you know, if they stole it, where did they put it? If, you know, if they can find, you know, if they went underground or I don't know, you know, but they have any ideas, you know, to send them in, and you know, we can discuss it.
It's a new underground railroad situation.
Yeah,
it's in the subway there in New York. That's where it's at. In the subway.
You absolutely never know where it is. But this is the you know, something I'm gonna to kind of follow up on. We've been talking a lot. I need to take a break. I'm gonna play a bit of music. Do you mind hanging on while I
No problem.
I put on a piece of music here?
Okay.
I happen to like this song. I play it because it happens to be one of my favorite songs from the show Hair. And it's one of my favorite plays, musicals. And so I'm going to throw this on right now.
We starve, look at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation.
Oh, huh? Oh, I love that song. Did you see, ever see hair? Oh, she hung up. But she didn't want to wait. Oh, the phone must have gone. I just realized the phone probably went. You can only use your cell phone for such a short period of time. Anyway, well, let's see. It's oh, she's back. You're back.
Yes, hit the wrong button.
Oh, is that what happened? Oh, yeah. Okay. Did you see hair? Did you ever see hair?
No, I've not seen hair.
Oh, God. That I happen to love the show. It was, for me, it was one of the only shows, one of the only Broadway shows where the songs became like hit songs on the radio. And I had found myself like, and knowing the words to the songs because,
yeah.
you know, like well, most times I'll go to shows and, you know, unless I listen to the show, you know, enough times or whatever that I don't know it, but, you know, so even today I was like singing along while I played the song too. What the heck, you know? Anyway.
So that was like 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like, yeah, 70s. Way cool, yeah.
Yeah. I think there were a lot of like shows like that in the 70s. The one that I liked was Sergeant Pepper's.
Which one?
Sergeant Pepper's.
Okay. Was that on Broadway?
No, it was actually a movie that came out.
Oh, okay.
It had Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees and Alice Cooper and all kinds of who's who of shows. They're kind of like the Wizard of, was it the remake of Wizard of Oz?
Oh, okay.
Yes. And that was, that one, I like that one. I didn't get the chance to see hair.
Wait a minute. The Wizard of Oz, I think we're about to hear a scene from The Wizard of Oz right now. wait, yep, we're going to. Just hang on, wait. Oh, here he is, wait.
Okay.
I'm a good witch, a bad witch. Oh, me? Why, I'm not a witch at all. I'm Dorothy Gale from Kansas. I am a witch. I'm Glinda, the good witch of the North, and these are my munchkins. It's all right. You can all come out and thank her. We represent the Leather Bay League, the Leather Bay League, the Leather Bay League. We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild. And this is a day for independence for all the munchkins and their descendants. Let the joyous news be spread. The wicked witch at last is dead. Hooray! Hooray! Who killed my sister? Who killed the wicked witch of the East? Was it you?
Oh, me. Oh, I didn't mean to kill anybody. It was an accident.
Well, I can cause accidents, too.
Oh, rubbish. You have no power here. Be calm before someone drops a house on you.
Very well. I'll bide my time. Just try to stand in my way. Just try. I'll get you, my little pretty, and you'll long to.
Honey, I'm so frightened. I want to go home. Honey, I'm Dorothy. Dorothy? Honey, how do I go home? How do I go back to Kansas?
Just follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road? Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow
the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick road. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Well, thank you. Okay, they left. They left. Okay.
Now, did you know that in Chesterton, Indiana, they used to have a Wizard of Oz festival every year?
Yeah? I think I should go, huh?
Well, I think they, I would say, suspended the celebration for the time being, probably due to lack of funding. But every year they had a amazing celebration of the Wizard of Oz. They have a museum there. And Munchkins and stars from the show would come and be part of a parade, and people would dress like Dorothy, and they would bring their little totos and get crazy.
Oh, God. You mean Toto, too? Yes.
Yes,
Toto, too.
Yes.
Oh, cool. I'll have to do that one time. Yeah.
We'll have to find out more and see if it's still going. And we'll get you into the Wizard of Oz Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And you can travel down the Yellow Brick Road.
Oh, yeah, I could do that, just like the person who just did all those, that entire scene, huh?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I have an announcement to make. That's right, I don't want to forget this. Okay, there's only so much I could tell. All right, there's this... I have to call, I'm sorry, but it's like one of the stupidest programs I've seen in a whole time. But who cares? There's a program on TV called Bank of Hollywood. Have you heard about this?
No.
It's on Channel E. And in this thing, what they do is they go before I'm not catching who they are. I guess there must be millionaires I'm catching. And one has to do in something having to do with the modeling business, owns the whole big thing with the modeling business. There seems to be one who's an entertainer. There's one who's, I think it's Aaron Spelling's wife. And there's a woman who's one of the top five in poker, the tournament thing. Okay. And these people, either a person or a group, goes before them and asks them for money for something.
So, kind of like the Shark Tank.
Something like a what?
The Shark Tank. That was a show where people try to promote their business. Entrepreneurship.
Yeah, but this is like, right. So they decide right then and there whether they're going to give them the money. You know, and so I don't know the entire thing, but what happened is that three of the New York Shark players got to do this. And so they're going to be on the show on Monday, starting on Monday. I think because the show goes on the whole week, but it's slated at least Eastern Standard Time at 9 p.m. And I don't know whether, like, if I go on the website for the E! Channel, it says, like, 9 p.m.
Okay.
And I get it at 9 p.m., so, but I'm not like typing in something saying where I am. So I guess it must be 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. So on Monday, we're going to find out, did the Sharks win the money?
Yeah. Well,
and what they were asking for, how much they were asking for, and did they win it, and what is it for?
So now the Sharks, will this money, if they get this money, will this help expand their franchise? Or?
Well, I don't, this is what I'm kind of getting a hint at, that it's not necessary, that I'm thinking it might have to do with the International Tackle Football Tournament coming up in June, at the end
okay.
of June. And I'm thinking that that's what they asked the money for, because I'm... What's happening? I don't know the whole the logistics of the whole thing, but I'm getting the sense that whoever participates, and it's not like it's actually the whole IWFL that's participating, and they're taking people from different teams, but I'm not getting the logistics of like, okay, what do people have to pay for? Do they do they have to pay for their entire, 10 or whatever days there?
Right.
I'm getting, I would imagine that they have to come up with the airfare, but I don't know the logistics of like everything else. So
right.
It's not just a matter of, it's not just a matter of whether the players are good. I mean, and they're going to get, you know, the best they can, but two things, can they afford to go? Can they afford to take off the time from work?
Right.
You know.
Well, it may
so,
be like many band, like the bands that can compete year round to get into the Thanksgiving Day parade or the parade at Christmas in New York or any of the big parades, schools and kids and even bands that have to compete. And then they have to raise the money if they do win to get to the event.
Yeah.
And if in this case, that may be the same instance where they have to raise the money to their, it's a privilege and a recognition of their accomplishments.
Right.
To get to there. And hooray, Sharks, for doing that.
Well, the Sharks has certainly accomplished enough to, you know, that to get the money. I mean, if that, again, I don't know how the, you know, the outcome of it. I mean, I think they should get it.
Yeah.
Seeing some of the people that have come across, what they were, people were asking for. I mean, I can't imagine.
I think when you're an entrepreneur, you think of things and a lot of things help people, and a lot of things are what some people may think are silly, but this, some people really put their hearts into it. So their hard work should be commended, although their idea may not be what is, I mean, you may go years down the road and it might be the biggest thing on the planet.
Well, let me interrupt you on this one. I mean, like, I'm watching the show and this woman comes out and she's asking for $5,000 for her 16-year-old daughter to get a boob job.
Well, get a boob job. Well, she's going to become the next actor in Hollywood. It's going to be, I mean, Hollywood's not really looking for big boobs anymore. They're looking for more quality entertainment.
Yeah, well, that's what they were commenting. That, you know,
yeah.
That's what these people were commenting on. But this is, I'm saying that this is not, what the things that are people that, of what they're asking for, some of them sound legit and some of them sound like, are you kidding? I mean, like,
right.
You know? But it'll certainly be interesting to see on Monday night. And of course, needless to say, if they get the money, you know what that means for me is like, oh God, how much publicity do I need to
right.
do on this? Because that'll, you know, be an entire thing. I mean, I'm ready to, like, I have to get ready to send out, if they win, that means I got to send out a press release to the entire media on Monday night.
Yay.
So that they all get everything for Tuesday morning to want to, you know, talk about it on the news.
Yes, that's exciting.
Yeah. Well,
so if they get, but say they, I mean, you're ready, aren't you? You're ready to write. You're ready to go.
Well, I have to, that's what I have to do. I just have to set up a press release to be ready to go. And, God, I mean, it's like I have to, like, you know, go through it, as many lists as that I have
right.
in terms of
well,
the media and just, like, you know, just kind of get it out there. You know,
now, are you going, you'll be going international or national, or is it, are you choosing a select area when you
in terms of media?
Yes.
Well, the media, I mean, I'm going for a combination of the news, the top news. Well, see, my feeling is, although it shouldn't be this, but my personal feeling is that New York City should be absolutely proud if anybody's going to be proud of it. But I've gone through this before where the team, where we were the only team that actually went to the, flag football, which we're doing
yeah.
again. And I thought, my God, our team gets chosen out of everyone in the entire country. And I'm thinking, well, of course, New York is going to want to know that, or, you know, they didn't really care. I couldn't believe they didn't care. I thought, what do you, you know, okay, the G-spot's important. Sharks doing this is not, you know. But you know, I have to see, you know, what I have to do. I don't really have access to anything beyond, I mean, I have like NBC, CBS, you know, things like that.
Right.
But I don't have any access beyond that in terms of publications. Because the question is, like, this thing is, okay, well, let's say if I do it a Chicago newspaper, why would the Chicago newspaper care? And the only way it'll have to get at this, the whole IWFL would have to want to do something.
Well, okay, take the Indiana Pacers. Pacers, although they've lost some games and aren't doing real well, they are known in the NBA. Well, on the other flip of the coin, you got the Fever. The Fever are a women's team of basketball players that really kick butt, that really put all their effort into it, just like the Sharks. And Indianapolis is doing their best to promote and to get people, and people are excited about the Fever basketball team. And New Yorkers should be excited about the Sharks as a women's team getting out there. They put all their effort into every game, and they're working just as hard as the men are on the field. It's just a different set mind. Maybe it's a different mindset, or maybe they just haven't caught up with the program yet.
Right.
That women are out there kicking butt all over the place, from the Fever to the Sharks, and there are teams everywhere. There are athletes going to the Olympics that are, the Winter Olympics are coming up in February, and there are athletes that are doing extraordinary things that are, and these are women athletes in categories that may not have been recognized before. So perhaps they're just not catching up to the program. I mean, we were discussing about being on the same page. Well, maybe not everybody's on the same page as far as...
They're not even in the same chapter.
Well, yes, and that's not a... It's not a, that they don't realize, they wouldn't realize the importance of that. Women's strides in sports. Women have made extraordinary strides in sports, and we are out there really kicking ass, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
And if the men are out there, they're going to the Super Bowl. Well, just because women don't have a team in competing in the Super Bowl doesn't mean that they couldn't kick ass enough to get to the Super Bowl if they had a team out there up to that standard of what men have.
Right.
So the Sharks are kicking butt, and they will get to heights, and they will just blow everybody's minds. And then all of a sudden, everybody's going to say, oh, yes, I remember the Sharks. And they'll feel kind of silly when they realize, you know, they're right there in their own backyard. Get out there and support your home team, whether it's your baseball team, your football team. The Sharks, they're right there. Get out. It's a great source of quality entertainment, as well as inspiring young women to believe in themselves and do something beyond their little bubbles. Step outside your bubble and be extraordinary, and that's what the Sharks are doing.
Oh yeah, they're everything they do kind of like makes history.
But that's
also, I mean, I have to give credit where credit is. It's really due to the owner, Andrea Douglas. It's her passion in her life to have this done. And so she'll go out and try to do all kinds of stuff to get this happening. So, you know, it's that's, I got to give her credit for that.
Then just they keep going and they'll make extraordinary steps.
Yeah. So, but I'll let you know. Well, you'll tune in on Monday night.
All right.
On this thing. I mean, I know it's on like probably the rest of the week, but it'll be Monday night that everybody gets to find out if the Sharks won, how much they won,
and what exactly they were asking for it. I'm gonna be interested in this. And one of the things that I noticed with this show is like everybody who's asking for something is crying. It's like, you know, everybody turns on the tears.
Oh, well, you know, I think as far as promotions, marketing, PR people, everybody who is out there working their butts off trying to represent their clients are finding it difficult in this. If you want to go there, it's the economic environment where people are holding on to their money.
Right.
And, I mean, whether it's you promoting the Sharks or us as USA Travel Magazine trying to get advertising dollars in, people are being more cost conscious. And whether you're offering, like if you want to advertise in your area for the Sharks, or we want to advertise in our magazine, people are they actually have reasonable advertising to meet people's needs, but everybody is really holding on to their money just because they don't know what's coming up.
Right.
And by, I think, as far as the mainstream media, perhaps they see, I mean, they're looking for a G-spot. My goodness, people.
Yeah.
The Sharks are women who are out there doing extraordinary things on the field. The Fever in Indianapolis are doing extraordinary things and being exceptional role models for women. And they are looking for a G-spot. And you wonder where, I mean, I hate to see Tiger Woods suffering for the things he has done in public. And while, you know, those things are part of his private life and he's going to have to deal with that. But for him, it is, he's trying to concentrate on his personal life. When you get to the dollars and cents of it, the advertisers are looking at his situation and thinking, well, is he good or is he bad? And, you know, sometimes the mainstream media needs to step away from negative people or negative situations. Not that the people are negative. It's they're human. They make mistakes. So
it's true. They're human. They make mistakes, but when in this time, in this era and whatever, they also know that they're under the watch of the media.
Right.
And they have to like, you know, I mean, there's a mistake, but when, I mean, come on. If the guy is like sleeping around all over the place, it's like, doesn't he think at some point this is going to go, you know, it's like some point I'm going to make a mistake, it's going to go public, everybody's going to find out that I'm a schmuck, that I'm not this nice person they thought it was, that I'm not the someone to look up to and whatever. And they just have to take responsibility. When people are in the public eye, and it's only because these days, and I'm not talking about, I mean, many years ago, no one gave a shit. You were watching an entertainer to see the entertainer. And then there's, you know, getting more and more. You're in the public eye, and you have to account for that you're in the public eye. And you got to, you know, when you're making the choices that you're making, you know, you have, it's like taking responsibility for anything in your life. It's like, you know, oh, if I kill somebody, think anybody's going to know about it? Well, you know. And so that, you know, I don't, there are certain things that have to do with people's personal life that I, you know, that are of nobody's business, but there are just certain things that when you know that you're looked over, that, you know, someone's looking over your shoulder all the time. But anyway, in the meantime, okay, so I think it's like I got like, you know, only like 4 minutes left. I'm not sure what I'm doing next week. Have no idea, but I'll be doing a show, and all my listeners, And I forgot that didn't I, some I guess Melody had to log off because I guess with her phone, and that's okay. I'll say goodbye to her later. And so everybody have a, oh you she's back.
Sorry about that.
What happened? Yeah, you're back. Okay, well I'm ending the show now anyhow.
All right. Well, I was going to check back in and say hey, I'm sorry for losing
that,
you there.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Just so you know, I definitely I'll see you next month.
Yes.
And
good luck to the Sharks.
And well, yeah. And yeah. Well, we'll talk right after the after the show, and you'll tell me what you know. You'll give me some feedback of what you think.
All right.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a whole bunch, Melody. This is
you're
really
welcome.
Cool. All right. I'll talk to you
all
soon.
Right. Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, so goodbye, everybody. Oh, here comes, guess who? Esther! The rubber chicken from the rubber chicken farts is coming here. Oh, here she is. I knew she was going to get in here somewhere. Wait.